What is that?
Green apple. It's just my tea.
Ah, tea. Looks weird in the green cup. Hello, I'm Brandon.
Don't we need silence?
Oh, yeah.
I'm Justine.
And this is the Cozy Co-op, a podcast where a video game journalist and a creative writer talk about video games. Hello, Justine.
Hi, Brandon.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm a little bit lazy today.
I feel it. I might take a nap later to see if that doesn't revitalize me more. I'm also quite warm, but I'm just a warm boy.
We're also, like, in a closet.
In a closet.
With no airflow.
In the middle of May. Yeah.
Well, that shouldn't.
I think May is, like, in my mind, the last month of spring. Because it is March, April, May. And then June, July, August is summertime.
Yes.
Okay. So, welcome to Dark Souls.
Now that we have our seasons in order.
You may notice this is not Jade Empire.
Yeah.
So, I want to explain that. My microphone's broken. You can probably tell from the audio quality right now, this is not my usual microphone. This is my low-quality backup that came with the power supply that I had purchased. So, I still haven't gotten my new microphone. I've been dealing that with the manufacturers, blah, blah. It'll get resolved, but I didn't get it back in time. But Dark Souls is an important episode to me, so we're using the crappy microphone. But before we get into Dark Souls, we got a bit of news for you. So, Rage 2.
Yeah.
Do you remember me talking about Rage? I have brought it up on the podcast before.
Yeah, isn't that the one that they just made the movie out of?
No.
Oh, that's Rampage.
Rampage. Oh, I want to see that. I forgot about that. Is it still in theaters?
No.
Dang. I'll get it on DVD.
It's like 3 months ago.
Really? Jeez. Time. Okay. Anyway, Rage, it is before Doom 2016 came out. Id Studios made a game called Rage. Imagine Borderlands meets Mad Max, but without the humor.
That was just more Mad Max then.
Kind of, but it had the feel and aesthetic kind of Borderlands.
Okay.
It was that. It did not get very good criticism upon release. The feedback, it was not good. Most people complained about the boring ending, actually. That was my biggest complaint. It felt like it just kind of ended, which it was not a good feeling. It was a good idea, but it wasn't a very fleshed out game.
I see.
Well, back in 2012, they were going to make a sequel, but they had canceled the project in favor for Doom 2016.
Okay.
Which, go listen to our Doom episode if you haven't.
Yeah, apparently it was worth it.
I swear a few times. Well, they've now announced Rage 2 is back, and it's happening again, and they have taken it in a new direction. The funny thing is, you know what technically first announced Rage 2?
What did?
Walmart.
Oh?
A while back, Walmart had accidentally posted product listings for various games that didn't exist.
Oops.
And we're talking about, it was a picture, black casing, with just in aerial text, Rage 2 on the case.
Aw.
But we saw more than just, we saw Rage 2. We saw, I think it was like Just Cause 4. We saw, Borderlands 3. Walmart had posted a bunch of non-existent games. Hmm. And people were like, oh, did Walmart fuck up? Did they?
They sure did.
Did they list games that they weren't supposed to talk about yet? Or are they unreliable? Now, the funny thing is, the day after Walmart accidentally shows off Rage 2, which no one expected to see in a Walmart listing, mind you. Everyone assumed Rage is dead.
Yeah.
We start seeing teasers for a new Rage game.
They were like, well, boys, cat's out of the bag.
Exactly. And then a few days later, they're like, okay, reveal trailer. Rage 2 is happening. And then the day after that, they're like, here's a gameplay trailer.
Yeah.
So Rage 2 is happening. It has more like a party vibe. Like, Andrew W.K.'s Party Till You Barf is the music playing in the background.
Okay.
It's interesting. It's a sillier approach on the original game, and I want to believe it'll be good this time.
Well, if it doesn't take itself too seriously, then maybe it'll have an improvement.
I think that's the thing. They're definitely not taking it seriously this time.
Yeah.
Next bit of news. Boss Key Studios. Do you remember me talking about a game called Radical Heights?
No.
It was an 80s style battle royale game.
Okay.
Framed kind of like a game show.
Okay.
And I was saying, oh, it just came out. It's not good.
Yeah.
Well, the studio who made it has shut down.
Oh, there they go.
Now, I sympathize with the people who worked there.
Yeah.
I am in no way surprised.
Yeah.
They made a hero shooter game after Overwatch that did not provide anything really worthwhile to the industry.
Mm-hmm.
That bombed. And they blamed PUBG. Did you know that?
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember who it was, but someone at Boss Key Studios, I believe, said that the release date of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is why it did not do well. Now, Battle Royale game, hero shooter game. That's not why they did bad. They did bad because they made a generic game way too late.
Yeah.
And then, after Fortnite has literally become the biggest game right now, they go and release an early alpha version of another Battle Royale game. It's not even done. There's buildings that are just gray models.
Nice.
And I get it was free to play, but they're too late.
Yeah.
And now they're also doing an 80s theme, which I don't mean to generalize. Battle Royale games are extremely popular primarily with the youth, the children, young people. Young people born in the late 90s, early 2000s, mid 2000s maybe. They don't remember the 80s.
The 2000s were like last year.
If they were born in 2000, they could buy alcohol. No, they can't.
No, they can buy cigarettes.
They can buy cigarettes.
They can vote.
They can vote. That's not any better. Anyway, I don't mean to bash on our younger listeners. They made games that are too late, both times. So it absolutely makes sense that the studio would shut down. I'm surprised it took this long. Last bit of news, we've talked about this. To the Moon.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to become a movie.
We posted about it on our Twitter.
Absolutely, because we were excited about it. The creator of To the Moon, Ken Thao, or something like that, I can't remember the name, he announced that they are going to be developing a feature-length animated film of To the Moon.
I am excited about that.
Now, apparently the funding is coming from China, but the production is happening in Japan. They've not stated who, but they have stated that a major development something or other is working on it. So apparently it's not going to be some rinky-dink thing.
Okay.
And the creator of the game is working with the development and editing process.
That's cool.
So it should stay true to, quote-unquote, his vision.
Yeah, that was all I wanted when I was playing the game, is I wanted to see it in, like, film format, if it was, like, a show or a movie or something. I kind of wanted it to be live action, but I think they said it's going to be animated.
Animated. Fully feature-length animated film with it.
I would have been cool with a live action, though, because, I mean, we played the video game, which is basically an animated film itself.
I'm a sucker for animation, to be honest.
That's true.
I will always enjoy animation. But that's happening. More details will come on that as it develops.
So, are we ready?
Dark Souls!
Yes.
Dark Souls. I'm going to say it again. Dark Souls.
Okay. So if anyone has listened to our Mega Man episode, a good entire episode where I talk about how bad I am at video games, how I like to play things on easy, and I like being able to plan out my day and have freedom of movement and time and whatnot. And I have this issue with a lot of other games where if there's time constraints, or like in Shadow of Mordor, where there's just no safe zone.
There really isn't.
I don't handle that well, and then I just stop playing. Which is why I know nothing about the Dark Souls series, except the fact that it's very, 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 very difficult, even for seasoned gamers, so I haven't gone anywhere near it with a 10-foot pole, so I'm gonna let Brandon take it away.
Well, let me clear up some things about that. Dark Souls is not hard.
It looks hard.
It is punishing.
Okay.
See,
there's
an internet trend of Dark Souls is hard. You know, it's a hard... When someone describes a difficult game, too often they'll be, it's like the Dark Souls of hero shooters. It's the Dark Souls of pinball machines.
Because it's hard.
What is this voice?
I don't know.
Dark Souls is not hard.
Souls of pinball machines.
It's punishing. People will die in it because they're reckless.
Mm.
Or they're unprepared. I had no trouble with Dark Souls. I'm not bragging.
It sounds like
I am saying that
you are a little.
My play style is how Dark Souls, I think, in my opinion, is meant to be played the easiest.
Okay.
Because have you ever been like one hit away from defeating a boss? So instead of going for the safe route, you just aim for that one extra smack.
Yeah.
You'll die if you try that. There's a common phrase in the Dark Souls community, don't get greedy. Don't go for that extra hit. Don't get greedy. Even if you're close, keep your patterns how they should be. Be safe, be careful, and you'll do just fine. Now, yes, it is a difficult game at times, but the point of it is,
that seems like
it's not hard.
It requires a lot of focus and strategy.
Kind of.
Which, to me, makes it a hard game.
The purpose of almost every Souls boss is watch them, figure out their styles or behavior, and react to that. Don't go wailing in thinking you can, you know, beefcake out somebody, with the exception of the Four Kings, but I'll get to that. It is watch, wait for their reactions. When they react, capitalize on that.
Okay.
Then do this big, slow attack, go in, and then attack them while they're recovering. Back up, wait for it to happen again. I used a shield, so I could block a lot of hits. So for me, it was basically just block, attack. It wasn't that hard. But I think people get impatient, as I've said before.
Yes.
And they don't want to do that slow, calculating approach, and they die.
Yeah.
There's people, it is a trend for this game and the community to beat the entire game, all bosses, without leveling up.
Yeah.
There's people who do what they call no-hit runs, which is, that's what it is. You never get hit the whole time.
Yeah.
The fact that that is even viable shows that this game isn't hard, is that it can be mastered to a crazy degree.
Yeah, and something I think I've gathered from people talking about Dark Souls is it's not a game to finish. You know, you don't play it to get through it. You play it to, I guess, basically to strategize. So that's, I think, the most fun that people have with this game is not getting through the whole game, but like doing weird and crazy character builds and somehow making that work. Because this offers you a lot of freedom as far as strategy, customization, and whatnot.
That's actually a good example of why this game has become the famous game it is. It has a lot of replayability.
Yeah.
When you play it for the first time, it's encouraged that you just do what you want, do what you feel you want to do.
Yeah.
Because you have the freedom to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, you should beat the game, because there's an immense satisfaction to be had when you do.
Right.
But then once you've beat it, there's so much more you can do, and that's where all of what you're talking about happens. The people who love this game, they come back again and again to do weird, unexpected things. They come back for the PvP, the silly builds, Giant Dad. We'll talk about him.
Yeah, I've
been doing a lot of research about Giant Dad.
Brandon,
lately.
Yeah, has a thing for Giant Dad.
It's not up yet. I think I'm putting it up Thursday. So it'll be up by the time this podcast is up. How's that?
Sure.
So I'm not going to, what's the phrase? Ping it? Push it?
Yeah.
Y'all can find it if you want. I ain't going to tell you where. So this is Dark Souls 1. So there's a lot of Dark Souls games. Technically 4, technically 3, technically 5.
Okay.
There's Dark Souls 1, Dark Souls 2, and Dark Souls 3. There's also Demon Souls. And there is Bloodborne.
I was about to say Bloodborne, or whatever, Darkborn, Blood Souls.
Soulsborne is Soulsborne? The term you're looking
for. I thought it was Blood Souls.
And the Soulsborne is the term used to basically encompass this entire style of game.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like how Metroidvania is becoming a genre,
yeah.
Or has become a genre. Soulsborne is starting to kind of become its own genre as well. The order is Demon Souls, then it's Dark Souls 1 and 2, then Bloodborne, then Dark Souls 3.
Were they all made by the same person?
Same person.
Okay. I mean, company thing.
All the ones with souls in the name were standard medieval fantasy land, basically.
Yes.
With some variation between them, but yeah, swords and shields and magic. Bloodborne was the Victorian...
Oh.
Victorian steampunky style one.
I want to play that.
That one focuses a lot more on concepts like madness and aliens.
Oh.
The aliens aspect is actually super low-key.
Okay.
It's surprising. But there's a theory going around that aliens have actually infested the world, and that's why things are the way they are.
Uh-huh.
You literally fight Martians, but they can be easily perceived as mushroom people, so I don't know if everyone realizes they're Martians.
Okay.
It is a mess of lore. I can tell you all about the lore of Dark Souls 1, 2, 3, Bloodborne, and the rest. I can't tell you anything.
Oh. Well, then what good are you, Brandon?
Well, that's why this is Dark Souls and not Dark Souls Trilogy.
Okay.
The episode. So, I want to tell you about my first experience with Dark Souls. Okay? I started out, I picked a warrior. Standard armor, sword, and shield. I like shields. I like long swords. They have a good attack, good range, versatile. The old, alright, it's an alright weapon. Don't hate. Until I came across a short sword, and I thought it was funny. Just because there's a lot of giant monsters, a lot of giant weapons. So I'm running around with a short sword, just kind of toothpick stabbing at these massive beasts, and I thought that was just funny.
Okay.
Time passed, I kept leveling up and whatnot, I played through the game. Had a difficult time with every boss because of the nature. Capra Demon! The Capra Demon is hard. I'll get back to that.
Okay. Is that your star sign?
My Capra. God, I hope not. That thing can burn. I found out I could upgrade my weapon to have various enchantments. Because that's part of the game. You can make it, like, it can deal fire damage. It can deal magic damage.
Yeah.
Like, the magic weapon, its damage will be attuned to your intelligence. So you can basically have a melee weapon that's stronger the more higher your intelligence.
Cool.
So if you're a mage, having a magic magic enchanted weapon is a smart move.
Yeah.
I also found out one of these is divine, which is basically the clerical, you know, holy man version. That one it's built off the faith stat.
Okay.
And I thought the idea of a divine short sword being just the funniest thing.
Okay.
So I made a divine short sword, and I went around, you know, plinking with this tiny sword.
Yeah, just
feel the wrath of my divine short sword.
Yeah, my divine toothpick.
So obviously, I started leveling up my faith stat as well, so that my sword could be good, and that I could learn how to, like, heal myself with magic. In case I ran out of Estus flasks, which is the game's version of a potion.
Yeah.
Then I came across a guy called Paladin Leroy. And you get invaded by dark spirits sometimes. I'll explain that. One of them was a guy called Paladin Leroy. I defeated him, and he dropped his everything.
Mm-hmm.
His armor, his shield, his weapon. His shield is a shield that when you have it in your hands, you slowly regenerate health.
Nice.
However, when you block with it, it does not block 100% physical damage.
Okay.
It blocks a lot of magical damage. That's another, like, you blocking doesn't block everything. A good physical shield will block physical damage 100%, but it may not be good against fire. So if you try to block a fire attack, you're still going to get hurt.
Mm.
But of course, a magical shield, high magic defense, but doesn't block 100% physical, blah, blah. I had to level up my faith more to use it. Then I found out Paladin Leroy's armor set's actually pretty good. So I started wearing that. And then I'm at the final boss, throwing, like, spears of lightning, healing myself with, a cleric-based everything. And I'm going, wait a second, when did I become a paladin? I don't know at what point in this entire process I suddenly went from man with a plinky sword to, like, hail the sun.
Character development.
Yeah, it just kind of happened.
So natural. Interesting.
The trend continues, though. I played a little bit of Dark Souls 3. A little bit.
Uh-huh.
I just couldn't quite get into it as well. I made a guy called the Compensator.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the Compensator. Two enchantments you can put on your stuff is Raw, which I guess your stats don't matter as much. It just has higher base numbers.
Yeah.
So I put that on a Rawhide Shield.
Okay.
So it was a Raw Rawhide Shield.
Yeah.
And then there's another stat called Deep, which is, I don't actually understand how it works. It's something about, like, the opposite of darkness, or maybe it's like the encompassment of darkness. It's another stat modifying thing. I think you need to level up dark magic to use it. Something like that. You know what I put that on?
A sword?
My short sword.
Okay.
So I had a deep short sword.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So good.
You think you're very satisfied.
I'm very satisfied with my deep short sword.
How long did you last?
I don't know. I didn't play it long.
Okay.
That was my first
I'm just experience. Here for the gimmicks, folks.
Basically. I guess I should say why we're doing Dark Souls, why it's so important.
Yeah, why you decided to overrule my Jade Empire that I already had completely set up.
In my defense, Jade Empire was for last week.
So? We don't have a set schedule.
Dark Souls has become a famous game. Like, best of all time by some people's account.
Yeah.
And I agree, it's I put it up there in Hall of Fame territory. It's being remastered.
Is there a video game Hall of Fame?
I want to say yes. I can't remember which. If there's like an official one, I think Guinness has one.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember. I think whoever does the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think, has a video game one as well.
Hmm.
It's being remastered for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC, and eventually Nintendo Switch. People have been wanting a Dark Souls 1 remaster for a long time. They're very happy, very excited. Myself included, because now I can play it again.
Yeah, on your computer.
I think I'm actually going to get it for console.
Oh, okay.
I'm still not decided, unfortunately. The original Dark Souls wouldn't run on my computer. It would just crash.
Aww.
So I couldn't even play the original if I wanted. So I'm excited for the remaster. Gonna have a lot of fun. And that's why it's important that we did Dark Souls this time, because this Friday, the day that this podcast has come out, is the release of Dark Souls Remastered.
Okay.
That's why. So we're doing Jade Empire next week.
Good.
So that's the game. Let's talk about the meta game. No, the meta community, I guess. Sunbro, him first. Have you ever heard the phrase, praise the sun?
Oh, all the time, yes.
That's from this.
Yes.
Yes. They're the guy in this game called Solaire.
Mm-hmm.
He is Sunlight Knight or something like that?
Oh, yeah, I know of him.
He's the guy who leads the Covenant, the Sunlight. Sunlight Brigade. He's the Sunbro, everyone called him, because he's a bro. Now, that Covenant in specific is about helping other people. You can place a sign on the ground. Other players in the game world can see it and then summon you to their world so that you can help them beat the final boss.
That's cool.
So you can be a bro. You can go out and help somebody.
Nice.
And yeah, it's a lot of help sometimes, especially when you have a boss fight that has more than one creature.
Mm-hmm.
They can distract one of them.
Yeah.
And because he's kind of the ambassador of this program. Because he's the ambassador of this program, he's seen as like the true sun bro, because he praises the sun.
Yes.
And he's got the little emote where you stand in a Y shape.
Oh.
That's his.
Your Y pose.
Y pose. they're actually making an amiibo of Solaire.
Okay. Like the little
plastic toy things? They're making one of those.
Is he going to be in his Y pose?
I think so.
Cool.
he's become a fan favorite, absolutely.
Yeah.
Inversely, let's talk about Giant Dad.
Okay.
So Giant Dad is a community-made character build that is based around having a high defense and a high endurance. You use a particular weapon that causes a high stun rate. So the idea is you show up to some, because you don't have to show up to somebody else to help them. You can also attack them. There's different covenants that are all about invading other people's worlds and killing them. And like you progress in this covenant by just straight up doing that.
Okay.
And people who enjoy player versus player stuff, they'll join this covenant. They're not bad people. They just want to play against others.
Mm-hmm.
But like there's tons of covenant related options of how you can do this, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Point of the matter is you play, you fight against others as well. This build, it's called Giant Dad because it wears a set of giant's armor as well as a thing called the Mask of the Father.
Ah.
Which raises your, encumbrance rate.
Okay.
And basically, this has set you up to where you are a tank of a man, but your stats are just perfectly good enough so that you can still do what's called a fast roll.
Oh.
Because let's say
roll out of the way?
How quickly you can roll.
Because
dodge rolling is a vital aspect of a Dark Souls game.
Yeah.
And how encumbered you are affects how well you can roll.
Mm.
If you are using less than 25% of your total encumbrance, so, 25 pounds of stuff, even though you can carry 100, you'll do a fast roll, which, as the name implies, is fast.
Okay.
You can do it quickly, you go farther, you recover quickly. Most people have a mid-roll, which is, I think, 25 to 50. I'm guessing on the numbers, to be honest.
Yeah.
Mid-roll stand. Then you have what's called a fat roll. Which is called so because you roll around like a fat.
Oh my gosh! Fat man. You're turtling.
It's just. It's a very Stay Puft Marshmallowy.
Michelin Man.
And obviously these affect your speed and whatnot. So this build is basically set. Let me have this long weapon. Let me swing it for days and days because I have a ton of endurance. So you can just constantly swing. But if you get hit once, you're stun locked. So since he can swing for days, he'll swing. Once he hits you, he'll just keep swinging till you die.
Yeah.
And this is a zero-to-death method. And the interesting thing about it is people hate it.
Yeah.
But some people love it.
Well,
because it's a meme now.
Yeah.
Somebody had made a video showing off. The guy who made the Giant Dad, he made a video, like, a meme-centric video. Air horns, 420.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Fire the base cannon. I think it's called He's Back. by Only Afro or something like that. Mm-hmm. Look it up. I might actually put a link in the show notes. It started from that, and I wrote an article saying how you can both become him and defeat him.
Yes.
Because his swings are kind of slow, so you can either dodge behind him and then punish, or if you're good, you can parry, which is you use your offhand to bash his weapon away and go in for a triple damage front attack.
Nice.
Which is called a riposte.
Yes.
Whereas a backstab will do double damage. So he's beatable. Now I want to talk about the mods.
Well, how about first we cut to the break before
you're right. I just want to talk about all of the things.
Yeah, you're going to run out of content before we get to the end here. So let's cut to our ad break.
Actually, before we say the actual ad itself,
okay.
I've set this up now. It's official, and I haven't had a chance
to
talk about it.
Yes.
Humble Bundle. So if you are the kind of nerd to listen to a video game podcast, you probably are already aware of the Humble Bundle, humblebundle.com, and their Humble Store. This place, they have the thing to where they give away games at a pay-your-own-price, portions of it go to charity, portions go to developers. It's a good program. They also opened up their own store where, same process, you can buy a video game, and a portion of that will go towards a charity of, you know, your choice. Mm-hmm. They also have what's called a partnership program, where if you follow a referral link to their site from a certified partner, and you buy a game on that site, a portion of that, you don't pay any more, but a portion of what you bought will go towards the referral person. For example, Mega Man. We talked about Mega Man. Mega Man Legacy Collection 1 and 2 are on the Humble Store. For like, what is it, $15? $10? I can't remember.
What are you talking about?
Mega Man games on the Humble Store?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was like a bunch, yeah.
The first one had like the first six games, the second one had like the next four.
Yeah.
You could get the first 10 Mega Man games for like $20, I think it was.
I think so, yeah.
Well, if you did that, but you did it through a referral link that's on our website, and probably going to be in our show notes, we would get about like $2 of that.
Sure.
And this is nice because it means I don't have to have actual advertisements on the podcast. I don't have to have actual advertisements on the website, but it's still a way for us to make a little bit of money because this is time consuming and expensive.
It goes to a charity on the side.
And it goes to charity.
It's a very good program. I recommend looking into it even if, you know, you don't want to follow our referral links. Please, please go ahead and follow our referral links. Well, usually if they have the game that we're talking about in their store, we'll post the referral link for that game.
Yeah.
For the week, yeah.
Otherwise, if you do just want to support us through this method, thelizardrock.com/cozycoop. Is there a the? No, there isn't. That URL is correct. There's a link there to our Humble Partner Store referral link, blah, blah. You can go through it through that. Do that. Buy some games. Treat yourself. Help me get paid.
They are at, like, a discounted price. So.
Oh, God, they have discounts on.
I just went and got Heroes of Hammerwatch off of there, and it's, like, $12 on the Steam store, but I got it for, I think, $9-something.
Yeah, it was, like...
on the Humble Bundle.
It was $10 for me.
Yeah.
Because they have discounts a lot, and they link to your Steam. So, like, we bought Hammerwatch through Humble Bundle, but we... but it were like, it's connected to our Steam.
Yeah.
So it's still in your Steam library. You don't have to go learn a new
library. You just put the code in and then you have it.
A lot of games have a DRM-free version, too, which people like.
Mm-hmm. So.
So now, a real ad break.
Okay.
I need you to read this one. Do you remember what that voice sounded like?
Yes.
Is it not so that thou art new? Thou fared well to find me. But cometh thee not for the podcast of Sir Brandon? My advice true, forget this. The legend of Brandon art none but a fabrication. Becoming sufficient? 'Tis but a fairy tale. Have thine own respect. Go not yonder knocking for nothing, I say. Well, indeed, thou art a strange one. Nevertheless, I feel some liking for thee. I'm Justine of the written word. I command a clan of gankers who track down defilers of the meta game. What dost thou say? Wilt thou not join us? Oh, yes. I believe we would suit thee well.
I love it. Oh my god, yes. Okay.
So, oh my god.
You probably don't fully understand what that was.
Okay, listen. Mm-hmm. There's a number of things I don't know about Dark Souls, but one thing I do know about Dark Souls is the borderline insufferable way the NPCs talk to you.
Yeah, that is true. Though they have coined, like, Sunbro, Solair, he used the phrase, I wish I could be so grossly incandescent.
Wow.
He was talking about the sun.
So grossly incandescent.
Right? Good word.
So horrifically radiant.
The context of this, some of our experienced Dark Souls players may get it. There's a covenant, well, let me back up. There's a man called Artorias. He was part of, like, the king's people. He figured out how to walk in the abyss, which is, like, this whole weird other plane. And part of what's the problem with all the lore going down. He was a very powerful knight. He had a dog called Sif, mm-hmm. who fought beside him. But he died. And his grave was built in the Darkroot Garden, a lush plant-like section of the game. Upon traveling through the Darkroot Garden, you find this cat, which is the one you just voiced. And she says, join my covenant, which is all about protecting the garden. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And so if you join this covenant, what happens is you put on a ring. And if somebody who, another player, walks into the Darkroot Garden, you will be pulled out of your game, dropped into theirs to defend the garden.
Oh.
Because that's your job. That's all you have to do is defend the garden.
Okay.
And this is another popular PvP one, because it's like automated PvP.
Yeah.
You want to fight some dudes? Go human, go into the Darkroot Garden. Mm-hmm. Alternatively, you like the idea of defending Artorias' grave, join his covenant. Mm-hmm. So that's what that's talking about.
That's cool.
There's a lot of cool. There's another one.
This is a real creepy cat, though.
It is very creepy. So it's very cool. Cheshire.
Yes.
But like, what's that dude's name? American McGee or something like that?
I don't know.
I think his name's actually American McGee. He made, like, those dark, gritty Alice games.
Okay.
No? Not ringing a bell?
No.
Okay. Some dude with a last name McGee.
Okay.
Made a bunch of, like, gritty, bloody style Alice games. They were all right.
Yeah.
The cat has that much look. There's another covenant where you're like the Dark Souls police.
Okay.
In that the ones that invade your world, they're generally called Dark Wraiths.
Dark Wraiths?
Yes.
Okay.
Which, their prerogative is straight up, go invade people's worlds, kill them.
Aww.
You are the bad guys. They make no doubt. Go steal their humanity, which is an item in the game.
But why would you do that?
Because you want the power. It's deserving to you. I don't know. I never did it. It's kind of a pain to unlock that covenant. However, there's another covenant. Called,
There's a lot of these.
They're like 12.
Oh. Can you get all of them at once?
No. You can only be one at a time.
Aww.
It's like choosing a team.
It'd be fun to do all
There's things. One called the Way of the White, which is literally, I want to play with other dudes.
Oh.
They make it easier for you to connect with other people.
Cool.
That's your only prerogative. But there's this other one that's like the police, in that, let's say a dark race invades, and he kills you. Mm-hmm. If you have a paper, I can't remember what the paper's called, but you get it from a guy called Oswald.
Nice.
You can indict them.
What?
You can indict them.
Indict?
No, indict.
I-N-D-I-C-T?
I don't know.
That's indict.
Tomato, tomato.
That word is an indict, yeah.
Agree to disagree. I don't know. I don't know the word well. I've never had to say it out loud.
Yeah, that's indict.
You can do that to them. And they will be put on what's called the Book of Sinners. The police, they invade the sinners.
Okay.
And instead of being these red dark spirits, they're these blue dark spirits. And their job is basically harass the people who have harassed other people.
Okay.
And I love that. It's like this weird revenge type deal.
That would be fun, like, especially if you weren't the one who got, you know, and then you go after people who do that to other people.
Exactly.
I think that's fun.
Now, it's a weird game in that sense, because indicting a person is often, you tell them, like, they will know you've been indicted. Mm-hmm. A lot of people see that as, like, a rage response, and a lot of trolls like being dark wraiths.
Okay.
And such is the nature of trolls, don't feed the trolls.
Yeah.
So, if if you're playing this game with the intention of making people mad, and you see that you've been indicted as kind of like a victory in their eyes.
Oh, yeah.
So there's people who will intentionally not indict people because they don't want them to think they've won.
Well, okay, but you're not the one then going after them. Someone else is going to do it because that's their job.
But it's the equivalent of going, I'm telling mom, before running away.
Oh, I'd do it. I'd be like, listen, this is the consequences.
However, alternatively, a lot of people say indict everyone.
Yeah.
If you are ever invaded, indict them.
Yeah.
Because you are encouraging PvP.
Exactly.
You're encouraging community action. You're giving that covenant something to do.
And also, like, that is the consequences for going in and being...
The dark race isn't going to mind either. Because if they're a dark race, they want to fight other people.
Yeah.
They want to PvP. So you're basically giving them someone else to PvP.
Yeah.
So it's... No one's really mad in the end, except if you got salty because someone beat you.
Yeah.
But, like, indicting people is just a generally good idea. Anyone listening who intends to play Dark Souls, after the first gargoyles, Oswald is there. You know who he is. He's creepy. Buy the indictment paper. Use that. Promote it.
Do you buy it once and then you can just keep using it? Or do you have to keep buying?
You can buy more than one. Some people actually say buy 3 or 4 and then just drop them off to other players.
That's cool. Here is a ticket. Well, if you get the
game, the game does a very bad job of explaining what the paper does. So a lot of people just ignore it.
I imagine that it doesn't explain a lot of things. You have to find out stuff.
More or less, yeah. It's hit or miss in a few instances. So many covenants. There's another one that's just, in my eyes, the most PvP one. It's like the Dragon Covenant, where the better you do, you eventually become a dragon.
Whoa.
But the idea of this game is, or that covenant is, I want a PvP, and then someone else can be like, okay, I'll join you.
Cool. Yeah.
Regardless, there's one where you have to just, I guess that one's technically.
That's making me think of the one scene from Last Airbender, where I think it's in book 4. They're in prison, and they're like, we need to start a prison riot. Do you guys know how to start a prison riot? And they try, like, pushing people around, and it doesn't work. And then the other guy just goes, oh, I know how to start a riot. He just stands in the middle of the crowd and goes, hey, riot! And then everyone just starts fighting. And that's what that made me think of, someone going, I want a PvP! And someone else going, okay.
Hey, fight me!
Okay. That's the beauty of video games. There's, like, no real-world consequences.
Oh, and that,
If you behave.
The other player and the multiplayer aspect is what most people are excited for about this remake. Because it means the community's about to burst alive once more.
Yeah.
My roommate's a big proprietor of the PvP side. I'm more of a PvE guy, you know?
Player versus everyone?
Environment.
Oh. It's me against the world. I am my own damn covenant.
But I look for, there's another one, I can't remember what it's called, I call her the Fair Lady, but there's basically this...
That's a nice name that you gave somebody.
Well, her followers call her that.
Oh.
However, she's a dying spider witch.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you were being nice about a pretty lady in the game. Well,
everyone, like, her followers call her that.
Yeah.
And she basically, I don't want to talk about the lore too much because I'm going to get it wrong.
Okay.
But here's a little bit of backstory of what's happened in Dark Souls. There's a flame of whatever, I can't remember what it was called. But basically, the humans fought an army of dragons. I don't remember where the flame comes in. But they defeated the dragons.
Maybe should have
dragons used to be
this.
The dominant race.
Yeah.
Humans dominated over them. Lord Gwyn, Lord of Cinder, was like the leader of this rebellion. However, the flame is dying out. And now, becoming undead doesn't mean what it used to. You don't die anymore.
Yeah.
You go insane. And you rot. But you don't die. And you, the player, are what's called the Chosen Undead, because it is in your destiny to find the first flame and either put it out or rekindle it.
Okay.
And so everything you're doing in this world is on your way to do this. You have to prove you're the Chosen One by ringing the bell in the highest point as well in the lowest point. So you have to go to the top of the Gargoyle Tower in the Undead Parish, defeat them, ring the bell, climb all the way down into Blight Town, ring the other bell, and then the rest of the world will open. Then you have to go and you collect the souls of the Great Ones, which is like, Ornstein and Smaug, they're not a great one. The Four Kings, Thief, the Scaleless, which is a dragon that betrayed his own kind.
Oh.
Like, things like that. It's a process.
Yeah.
And then eventually you have to fight Lord Gwyn himself, because he has gone what's called Hollow, When you go hollow, it means you've lost your purpose in life.
Yeah.
And it's caused you to go insane. For whatever weird reason, you haven't gone hollow, which is why you're the chosen undead.
Okay.
You can see these fleshy zombies like people all over and you fight them. But the reason you're different is because you've not gone hollow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of heavy at times because you'll come across NPCs and you'll watch them go hollow.
Mm, that's sad.
Like, there's a guy called the Crestfallen Warrior. He's one of the first NPCs you meet after you've left what's called the Asylum. Because so many undead were just building up that they just started throwing them in an asylum.
Yeah.
Including yourself. And apparently, if you ring both of the bells, he goes hollow.
Aww.
I think it's because he thought he was the chosen one.
Aww.
But you kind of remove the purpose from his life, yeah. Aww. And he goes hollow. And when you go hollow, you go insane and you become aggressive. You become hostile. So Aww. He ends up attacking you and you have to fight him off.
I was just about to say, I'm starting to really want to play this game and now I don't know if I could handle the heartbreak.
Oh, let me tell you, none of them are good. Not a single... The lore, the stories in this game, it's very rich, but you got to find it. You can play this entire game without knowing any of the lore, stories, or any of it. Which I think that's a good... I like that. You don't need to know the story, but it's just all over the place.
I'm a total completionist. You know I have to talk to everyone.
Now, there are two particular NPCs I want to tell you about.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the first one's name. Sigmund of Katarina, I think. He's called Onion Bro.
The Onion Knight.
The Onion Knight. The fat one?
I like him.
Round boy? He's not actually fat.
Roswell.
You first meet him, he's trying to get into what's called Sen's Fortress. He can't because the doors are closed. Well, if you ring both bells, the doors open.
Mm-hmm.
And you meet him later going, oh, that was you? Good job, I couldn't figure it out. But now I don't know what I'm going to do, I'm stuck here. And then, like, later on, you end up changing something that allows him to continue on his path. And you're like, oh,
oh no.
Thanks again.
You've told me the story, I don't want to get to the end of it.
Like, well, now I'm terribly worried. I haven't seen my daughter in so long, because that's what he's been doing this whole time. He's looking for his daughter.
Yeah.
But you find his daughter, and you free his daughter, because she was trapped inside this crystal golem. And then he's like, oh my god, thank you so much. This is wonderful. And then there's an instance where if you fall in a pit down in, like, the lava-y depth, he's like, don't worry, I'll save you. And he jumps in to fight, but you take care of everyone.
Aww.
And then the last time you ever see him... is in, oh, I gotta tell you about the Great Lake, Great Ocean, whatever
it's called. We don't have time.
So much I want to talk about! Basically, you find him one last time with his daughter, and he's dead.
Aww.
And you talk to his daughter, and she's like, yeah, he went hollow, and he attacked me. So
aww.
I had to stop him.
That's awful.
It is so awful. You know what's worse?
He went hollow because you did everything for him?
Well, that is a presumed reason. You kept taking away his purpose.
Yeah.
Son, bro.
What about him? Does he have... what?
He goes hollow.
But why?
Your favorite bro. Son, bro himself, Solaire. He goes hollow.
So what's the point of doing this if by the end of it, everyone's going to be dead or crazy anyway?
That's the thing is, a lot of people will intentionally not pursue Solaire's story arc because they don't want him to go hollow.
Yeah.
But the problem is, there's one way to keep him from going hollow, and you can't be in his covenant. As a matter of fact, you need to become an invader to do
it.
Yeah,
you have to be something for him to fight.
Not even that. The problem is, he is destined to find his very own son. He's looking all over. He can't find it. He wants his own son. He needs to find it. And in his travels, he helps you a lot. He's such a nice bro. And he ends up actually getting infested by this maggot. That it crawls onto your head and it casts light above you. You as a player, if you get it and you defeat it, you can wear it as a hat.
Oh.
And it's like, it casts light so you don't need to hold a lantern in your offhand. It's very useful. But the idea is that it feeds off of your brain.
Mm.
And Solaire finds it and he goes hollow because it's rotted him away. He couldn't find the sun. He never could. So he found what he thought was his own son.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he ends up attacking you. Problem is, this dude's strong.
Yeah.
However, the only way for you to get to that worm and kill it before it gets to Solaire is you have to join the Fair Lady's Covenant. If you progress far enough in her covenant, which you do so by feeding her humanity, because she's sick.
Yeah.
You feed her humanity. You can open up a shortcut. And this is the only way to open that shortcut. But that shortcut is where the other worm is. The worm. It's on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So you either can progress the game the normal way, go all the way around, and find it there. But at that point, Solaire will have been there.
Yeah.
or use a covenant, open up the shortcut door, kill it. If you'd manage to do that, if you manage to never let Solaire go hollow, he will help you in the final battle.
Nice.
It's wonderful. I intend to do it. I didn't do it, I didn't do another playthrough Solaire-centric, so I've not saved him.
Leave covenants after you've joined them and switch?
Yes, I think some of them have, a penalty if you leave. I'm not sure. I'll have to double-check.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, we can skip the mod thing. I want to talk about the Twitch play.
Okay.
Do you remember Twitch Plays Pokemon? Do you know about it?
No.
So, do you know Twitch? Online streaming service?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't make assumptions. Somebody had made a program where you could play Pokemon through the Twitch chat.
Oh.
In chat, you said left, right, up, down.
Yeah.
A, B, start, select. And the game would do it.
Yeah.
Except everyone in chat
could
do this. So it was a very chaotic game.
Yes.
Well, it got very popular for while it ran. Creating Lord Helix, that whole joke, because they had gotten an Amistar, the Helix fossil.
Mm-hmm.
And they had actually managed to make it into a Pokemon.
Wow.
They eventually beat the Elite Four. They made it. They got all the way there.
Nice.
But, because of the chaotic nature, people making up their own stories and jokes and whatnot. So, Lord Helix was considered, the god savior of this team.
Oh, my God.
Because everyone was saying, praise Helix, praise Helix.
Yeah.
There was a Venomoth called ATV.
Nice.
It was good. It was a fun thing to watch. It was nice being excited to come home from, I think it was, were they work or school? I think it was work. I'd come home from work, tune into the Twitch Plays channel.
Yeah.
To just see what has happened since.
Yeah.
It was surprisingly fun. Very exciting. Of course, Twitch Plays Blank became a very popular thing for a period of time. Of course, it progressed into Twitch Plays Dark Souls.
Uh-huh.
Now, originally, it was the same way. Everyone shouted and all of the commands would happen at once. Problem is, it became very easy to literally never progress.
Yeah.
Because it only took one guy to say, go left, to jump off an edge.
Yep.
And there was actually a puddle. They couldn't get past this puddle because everyone was walking off the edge back into the puddle and had to go back around.
Yeah.
So they eventually initiated a thing to where the game would pause, everyone would say what they want to happen, it would pick the most common answer, and it would perform that.
Okay.
And it would perform action, pause.
Yeah.
Proceed. Eventually, Twitch Plays Dark Souls beat the game.
Nice.
I don't know as much about it because it wasn't as interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I like running around.
I like the chaotic nature. I think they even had a thing where you could vote. Do you want it to be chaotic or whatever the other word was?
Pause. Wait for the response.
Granted, without the pause waiting, they would have never beaten the game.
Right.
That was a thing that happened. I remember it
sounds fun. But also, I would not be able to sit through that.
I figured out how to make my own Twitch Plays bot.
What game would you do if you would do one?
I have no idea. The thing is,
food for thought.
Twitch Plays games are dead now.
A question to grow on to come back to next time.
It was
time.
Literally a goldfish play.
All right, here we go. You can do this.
There was literally a Goldfish Plays Pokemon stream.
Like a goldfish?
A goldfish.
Oh.
They had a camera sensor that would detect where in the fishbowl the fish went, and that's what button it was pressing.
Okay.
Though my personal favorite was Twitch Plays the Stock Market.
Oh my god.
Someone actually set it up and you could vote to buy or sell various stocks. I don't remember how it turned out.
Was there real money involved?
I want to say it was real, I think.
It could have been the stock market game.
No, I don't think it was a game. Cryptocurrencies? Oh, something of that nature.
That's wild.
So, this has been Dark Souls.
This has been Dark Souls.
Like we said in our ad break, you can actually get, funny enough, all except Dark Souls 1 on the Humble Store.
Well, because it's not for PC yet, right?
Well, that's an interesting thing. Dark Souls, the original, has disappeared off Steam.
Oh.
Because they're uploading the remaster.
Oh, that would be, okay.
So we're in this weird phase of time between its launch and the old game's removal.
Yeah.
So the first Dark Souls isn't on the Humble Store right now. But it might be by Friday.
Might be, yeah.
It will definitely be on Steam on Friday.
Yeah.
But hey, Dark Souls 2, 3, the Master Editions, I think maybe Bloodborne. They're on the Humble Store, so if you want to get into these games, try out our affiliate link at thelizardrock.com/cozycoop.
Donate to charity, get a discount, give us some money, everybody wins.
My personal favorite charity is Able Gamers, which I never brought up the Able Gamers when we were talking about the gamepad thing.
You can mention it now, real quick.
Eh, it's gone.
You can check it. Is it on the Lizard Rock?
Yeah, I've reported on it.
Okay, so it's on the lizardrock.com if you want to read more about the Able Gamers.
Oh, no, I don't have the Able Gamers on my site. I thought you were talking about the Xbox pad.
Oh, Xbox, is that not connected?
Xbox made a disability controller, I guess you could call it. They made a controller for people with disabilities so that they can play easier.
So
I wrote about it on my website.
Yes,
go check it out.
You can read more about that on the website.
Next game actually is going to be Jade Empire.
Yay!
I promise.
I wrote up the show notes, so we're already prepared. It's going to be awesome.
Hopefully with a better quality microphone.
This time Justine's not going to complain about not being good at video games because she's really good at that one. So that's it for today. Cozy up with us next week on the Cozy Co-op.
We got to do our housekeeping.
Did we not do that?
No, we did not.
All right, cut that out.
So, housekeeping. If you like this, leave a review on iTunes. That actually helps us get seen. I want to see if I can take those other video game podcasts down a peg. I'm looking at you, Polygon Show.
Really?
No, we can't. I do not believe we can outdo the Polygon Show.
Mm-mm.
How about Game Scoop? Y'all ain't that good. I'm kidding. I'm not bashing another
crap on our show. This is the Cozy Co-op full of good feelings.
Yes, cozy vibes. But leave us a review. It helps us get seen, puts us up on those charts, makes me feel good about myself. We're also on Google Play and Stitcher Radio. You can follow us on Twitter, at Cozy Co-op Podcast, and on Facebook of the same name. You can also send us an email at cozycoop@thelizardrock.com. Business casual emails, please.
Yes.
She won't let me do, what did I say, sensual?
Sensual emails.
No sensual emails. The news that you heard today, I write news every Monday through Friday. At thelizardrock.com. Check it out. That's where we get our news from. Outro! Go ahead.
Are we good?
Yeah, go ahead.
This time for sure?
Mm-hmm.
That's it for us today. Cozy up with us next week on The Cozy Co-op.
Outro music.